Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thursday's Mythbusters show, and don't do a sound check because this is not Desiree. This is Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, and P4P Real Talk. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. And tonight's show is, like I said, it's about Mythbusters. And there's a lot of things that have not really slowing down natural bodybuilding, but some things that basically like speed bumps or potholes that really shouldn't be there, but they're still there anyway because of basically going from the old, I wouldn't even want to call it knowledge, an old way of understanding. And we're basically crossing that threshold into the new way of truth. And there's a lot of things that basically have been inhibiting a lot of the growth that people could have, not because they intended to do it, but just because, you know, they didn't know any better. And the person that was teaching them didn't know any better. And so we have this cycle of ignorance. And I'm not saying that anyone is stupid. That's a totally different term. Ignorance means you just don't know. And that's what's basically been plaguing the natural bodybuilding community for some years, is because there are people out there that really don't understand what it takes for a natural physique to reach its optimum level. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on one of our own people, PD, one of the co-owners. I mean, this guy is just a litany of information. So I'm going to ask him to introduce himself, and when Leaf gets on, we're going to introduce him as well. But Joe, please introduce yourself, and for the people that might be new to you, I doubt it now, but I still like to do the introduction.
Sure. My name is Joe Manning. I'm one of the co-founders of P4P Muscle, and I've been around natural bodybuilding and, you know, personal training for both bodybuilding and just general fitness for quite a long time now, since about 2000 was the first year I became certified as a trainer and began working with clients. And I've seen and heard a lot of what Kalen's talking about. And, you know, I find it very interesting, and I find it fun talking about this stuff. So this is going to be a great show. Love to spend a lot of time with people individually, you know, just helping them understand why some of these things that they've seen or heard maybe really isn't the best way to go. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great show. I'm sure we have a lot of great questions coming from Kalen, and I'll do my best to provide some good answers and explain the real science and physiology behind, you know, a better way to go.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because this isn't hearsay. This isn't the stuff that we, you know, we hear on the street. This is basically well-documented research, and it's much needed, you know, because at the end of the day, and this is something Joe, JB, and myself, and Chad as well, have all become very, well, not become, we always have been passionate, and that's about people's health and welfare. It's amazing how we can bypass one to get stage ready. And I'm thinking, well, your health should be the overall goal, and the stage should be the byproduct of it. And I think until lately, that has been something that people have basically been asked not to address. And I find that shocking, especially when you're talking about a coach or anyone that's basically been trusted with your health and your life. And we have been basically stepping past that in the realm of basically unhealth and unfitness that maybe masquerades as a healthy-looking physique or body. So, Joe, this one thing that, you know, I'd like to start, since we are talking about coaches, it's a question that, you know, I guess since we've been in the business for a while, you know, it's something we don't think about, but how do you go about choosing a prep coach or a nutritionist or a dietitian?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I, I believe that one of the things that you want to look for is somebody that has the background. And I know when Leaf gets on here, Leaf is one of those individuals that I feel has a solid background and has not only
Hello?
The educational. There he is.
Hey, guys.
You know,
how are you?
Good. How's it going, Leaf?
Hanging in there. Did I interrupt you guys? You want me to call back?
Nope. You're good. You're good. I was just giving you some props, Leaf.
I appreciate it. I'll take all I can get.
So, yeah, I would look for someone who has that educational background, you know, the real scientific approach to this, the certifications, definitely the nutritional knowledge as well, not just the training knowledge. And then look at their record of success. You know, someone like Leaf has helped a lot of people achieve pro status and even, you know, world championships. And having that level of success under your belt is a good sign as well. And then I would personally reach out to some of the clients that they work with and find out what the experience is like. And, you know, those are some of the things that I would personally look for and I would encourage people to look for. It's not always just, you know, that individual's physique, because there are some athletes that look absolutely amazing themselves, but that doesn't qualify them to teach someone else how to achieve that level.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, reaching out is a very good one. Yeah, I like that. Leaf, the question was, you know, how do you go about choosing a good prep coach?
Well, I think research is most important. You want to make sure that you research with anybody that you're dealing with. There's a lot of weekend warriors out there, people that go and get a weekend degree, eat a can of tuna, walk around with a jug of water, and they think they know what they need to do in order to get somebody the results they want, and they're frauds. These people are absolute jackasses, and unfortunately aren't.
Yeah, I don't think that was Lee.
I don't think it was.
but he did have a point, but just the language was a little bit much. There's one question, another one that was asked is, if you have a good prep coach, how do you go about knowing the duration of a good prep for, you know, your first, let me read this correctly. How do you go about, if you find the right prep coach, what's the correct prep time for a first-time competitor? There we go, yeah.
Wow, I'm sure there's a ton of variability there, and that's going to be more of a real individual one-on-one answer, I think. The prep coach themselves would have the best answer for that individual. Just mm-hmm. as a generalization, though, myself, I am much more of a fan of taking it a slower and easier approach rather than a condensed, hardcore, you know, suffering kind of prep where people are doing a lot of cardio and they're restricting their calories a lot. I just don't think that's necessary at all. And if someone is relatively successful with their improvement season and they're not carrying a ton of extra body fat, there's really not that much of a need to have a real hard, condensed prep where they're going to suffer a ton. So it's hard to answer for an individual how long the prep would be. Mm-hmm. Some of my own personal preps in the past, to lose 11 to 12 pounds, I took 24 weeks. So it's nearly 6 months to lose a very small amount of weight. And in all honesty, those diets, if you want to call it that, really did not feel like a prep diet at all. Was able to maintain strength the entire way through the prep for the show. I was able to set new PRs on the big lifts. I was able to deadlift more than I ever deadlifted in my life 6 days prior to a competition when I was at really, really low body fat levels. And I attribute that to being able to have more of a slow and steady kind of approach to it, and didn't have to overdo cardio, didn't have to overdo calorie restriction. And so I would err on the caution of taking your time, And for a first-time competitor, if you know your competition date, let's just pick a date out of the air. Let's say it's October 1st is your show date. I would personally shoot for September 1st for the day that you want to be ready. And if you hit it, that's fantastic. That means you've got, you know, 4 weeks to kind of reverse diet and bring your calories up going into the show. Look fantastic, be nice and full, feel full energy, and feel fantastic the day of the show. If you don't quite hit it on September 1st, hey, no problem. There's nothing to worry about. We got four more weeks of work we can do to get ready. So that would be my biggest tip when you're planning how long the prep should be. Would be err on the side of caution and try to be ready a little early, especially for a first timer who's not exactly sure how their body's going to react.
Thank you. That's a very good answer, and it has to be thought out. And you know, there's so many things, and it's just sometimes it has your eyes really bug out of your head when you hear some of the things that the competitors have been asked to do to get ready for prep. And you know, I'd like to get into some that you had listed, because I think, you know, like I said, it's some things we're used to, but it's like something new. Eating after 6 p.m.
That's one of my favorites. So yeah, you'll see this in magazines, media, internet. Don't eat after, and then you can kind of fill in the blank. 6 p.m. is kind of a popular one. 7 p.m. is another one you hear a lot. You know, don't eat after this time because you're going to store away body fat at a more rapid level and it's going to be impossible to lose weight. You know, that's basically generalizing how the myth usually goes. So to kind of dispel this myth, one of the first things I would say is, you know, if you're tracking your calories, you're tracking your macronutrients, and you're eating at any time of day and it's budgeted for calories, then the time of the day really doesn't matter very much at all. And in some cases, in a lot of cases, eating after that time can be extremely beneficial. So one of the examples I would give there is, for someone like you or I, Kaylin, who's going to go in and we're going to lift weights, you know, with good amount of intensity, we're really going to break down a lot of muscle tissue, then eating before bedtime is actually a very smart strategy to be able to enhance your recovery ability. So I wouldn't necessarily choose to eat something that, is going to be fattening at any time of day. You know, like, it's not a great time to eat a bunch of potato chips or ice cream or whatever. But if you're eating something that's a nice, slow-digesting protein, you know, that's budgeted in your overall total calories, and you're also eating, you know, enhancing that meal with maybe a little bit of healthy fats as well that are also budgeted from your calories and your macros, then that's a very good strategy to have a nice, slow-digesting meal that's going to feed your body well into your sleep, which is generally your longest fasting period, is the hours that you're spending sleeping. So having those amino acids available can actually help your recovery a ton. And then from a fat loss standpoint as well, we want to keep all of that lean mass that's directly tied into your metabolism. So anything we can do to maintain our lean mass while we're losing body fat is a very positive thing for weight loss. And you may wake up in the morning significantly less hungry if you're able to eat something at that time, you know, rather than going long, you know, time periods without food. So there's absolutely no truth whatsoever to, you know, don't eat after 6 or 7 p.m. because it's going to make you gain body fat. That one to me is pretty ridiculous, but it's been out there for so long. And in so many different spots, there's still a lot of people that believe that and try to live by that. And it's definitely not true whatsoever.
And they will swear by it. I mean, not just, you know, when you say live by it, you really hit the nail on the head, because they swear, you know, they see the goal and the gains. And I'm thinking it dysmorphia really covers a lot. You know, and especially in this business. One of the others that you'd have is, and that I thought, you know, I've seen people end up in the hospital on this one, so I'm glad you brought this one up, is that's not drinking water, or cutting water, what they call it, and that it basically just stopped drinking altogether before a competition.
Yes, yes. That's a, you know, you mentioned before, like, the primary goal being, you know, let's be healthy and enhance our health. And then as a byproduct of that, we look fantastic on stage. This one has kind of taken the opposite approach. You know, some people do try to severely dehydrate themselves going into shows. And the thought process is that they're going to be able to pull some water subcutaneously, you know, from between the layer of muscle and skin, and appear much more conditioned, much more ripped by getting rid of that water. And the truth of the matter is that when your body expels water, when they're dehydrating themselves, their body's pulling that from everywhere, including internal organs, which obviously it's not healthy to be severely dehydrated. And then also, you know, from a stage presence point of view, we're pulling water out of the muscles too. So there's no performance or no visual positive impact to this dehydration whatsoever for a natural bodybuilder. It's just not a smart strategy whatsoever. And, you know, the glycogen in the water inside the muscle is what makes them really pop and create a four-dimensional look where you've got deep separations between the muscles. And when you see that physique that just looks unreal, you know, kind of like an alien, with striations everywhere, that's because they're nice and full. They're full of glycogen and water inside the muscle bellies, and they also are obviously very lean at that point too. So when people hear competitors, or when they hear someone say that, you know, a certain individual didn't peak quite right, and, you know, it looks like they're holding water, and that's why they're a little smoother in appearance and they're just not as sharp, that's really not true whatsoever. The harsh truth to that is that they just weren't lean enough. You know, there's really not anything to do with holding water under the skin in most cases. They just needed to get their overall body fat percent levels lower so that you could see the definition better. And then they also, you know, need to just be nice and full with water and glycogen inside the muscle bellies. So if anybody, you know, is listening and newer to the sport and they're wondering, you know, should they follow some kind of plan for dehydration going into the show, I urge people just don't do it. You're going to end up looking worse and you're going to end up feeling worse too, and possibly, you know, impacting your health in a very negative way. So, you know, if you want to be full and look extremely lean and ripped, you want to keep the water and you want to keep the carbohydrates, because that's what's going to help you achieve that level of conditioning. So, again, that one, I don't know, I think it comes from, you know, athletes that, you know, were using drugs that maybe caused them to hold water. And, you know, those are the people that were interested in trying to dehydrate to get rid of some of that water retention. And, you know, yeah, in a natural bodybuilder's physique, there's no need to do it whatsoever. And like I said, it's actually going to be very detrimental into what your physique looks like. I've worked with some individuals. I won't name any names. You know, some people that have done that before in the past where they've been very dehydrated. And you can tell by, you know, just their overall vitality and energy level. The day of the show, they feel like garbage, you know, for obvious reasons. And, mm-hmm. you know, having them even basically get up, go backstage and get a pump, it's a chore. You know, they just feel like garbage and no energy whatsoever. And then, you know, if you take the same exact individual and take them through a nice, healthy prep and, you know, they're well hydrated and they're, you know, at the adequate calorie levels and they're feeling good, they should feel fantastic the day of the show. And I've seen people that have done it wrong in the past and corrected it and done it right. And it's like two different individuals the day of the show. You know, they're bouncing around backstage, actually having fun, doing pictures with people, you know, laughing, joking. They do their routine. They're barely, you know, barely winded, barely feel like they've done anything. And, you know, they're ready to go again if they need to. So it's a big, big difference. And I hope people, you know, stop doing that because it's not effective and it's dangerous.
And you know, you've said it many times, you know, at the live events when we're there, it's supposed to be fun. You know, we're supposed to be enjoying this. This is supposed to be a proud time in our lives. And you know, I can't imagine a sport of me playing, especially, like, you know, even though people don't think about it, this is an organized sport because you're dealing with organizations. And I can't imagine doing any organized sport and not enjoying the whole process of it. I can't imagine playing basketball and hating the fact of game day. You know, when you actually get the chance to do and look your best, and you basically miserable because of all the things you had to do to get there. Or the same thing with football or volleyball. I can't imagine, you know, what you put yourself in harm's way and say that there's going to be some benefit. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because it just seems like a waste of good life moments, you know, family time and everything, because there's so many things that are involved with a prep that you sure don't want to have everybody miserable because, you know, you're not enjoying it at all.
Right, exactly. I said this to a client of mine once, and I didn't realize the impact it had until a couple of weeks later. But as a client who wanted to get into bodybuilding, we had been training for a long time, you know, training real hard to gain lean mass. And then we started talking about, you know, actually starting a prep. And, you know, the first time around, everybody's got some nervousness about it. And, you know, so he was asking me about, you know, the show and, you know, how competitive are people and, you know, the day of the show, what happens and all this. And I thought about it for a second. I said, man, no, you got it wrong. The competition is right now. You know, we're in the gym blowing up these weights. That's when I'm competing against everybody else. The day of the show is the party. You know, it's like, the competition's already over to me. I've already done everything I can do. I've left it all in the gym. So now all I want to do is have fun and enjoy this process. And yes, I do want to win because I'm a competitive individual and I want to win. But I've already done all the work. There's nothing I can do that day, you know, short of presenting myself to the best of my ability, you know, using my best posing skills and, you know, presenting myself the best way I can. I'm not adding any more lean mass that day. I'm not getting leaner that day. There's nothing I'm doing to my physique outside of posing that's going to be any kind of realm of, you know, competition. So to me, the competition day was always the party, and I would just much rather feel fantastic that day and enjoy it and have a good time.
Amen to that. I mean, because when you talk about months of your life, it's really amazing that people would, I can't even imagine suffering for months and instead of, you know, and it, there's going to be days, yes, but I said there's days, any sport I've been involved in, there were those days where, you know, you basically finding the new you, and in that process, you got to dig a lot deeper than what you're normally doing. But, you know, I don't know any coach. I don't know any team. I don't know anybody that wanted to stay the same year after year and say they were there at their best. So you're going to be finding that new you, and that's a challenge. And I can't imagine it being easy all the time. You know, for some people it is easier, but, you know, not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get on to another one because I don't want to miss any. Training in the fat burning zone. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, there's so many times where you really you wonder who these coaches are and where they came from. And, you know, I'm not bashing every coach, but there are some people out there that basically want money. And they don't really have the concern or the care for the client's health or welfare. And we have to basically expose them without, you know, because I doubt we have to go into names. The proof is in the pudding. So the name of the name basically just causes a social media war. But the proof will be in the pudding on how they go about helping people or dealing with the client in a way that, you know, like John Gorman was saying Tuesday, where they benefit and they get to represent their best, because that's what it should be about.
Exactly. Yeah, so the fat-burning zone, what that refers to is doing cardiovascular activity, you know, in a certain amount of beats per minute that's considered the optimal, you know, zone to release lipids and burn fat. So, the reason why I include this as a myth is because there's more than one way to skin a cat for sure, but that is not the optimal way to burn body fat, especially for physique athletes. So large amounts of steady state cardio is not the best exercise prescription. If you're trying to have a nice, you know, full, lean physique and be stage ready. It takes a lot of time out of the day. You know, most of us have, you know, jobs or businesses. You know, we have families. We have so many other responsibilities that we have to carry on while we do these contest preps. And endless bouts of, you know, Stairmaster or treadmill or elliptical in that fat-burning zone is not exactly conducive time-wise to balancing all of the, you know, responsibilities we have and wearing all the hats that we have to wear. You know, if you are in a prep and you're trying to train, you know, doing your weight training an hour to an hour and a half a day, and then a coach is telling you, you know, I need to get on a Stairmaster 1 to 2 hours a day too, and then you got to go to work for 8 hours plus your commuting time, where's the time for the kid, you know, and all the other things that are even more important. So, that is not necessarily the best way to go. There's tons of research out there that shows that a higher intensity interval kind of training works much better. It rips through a lot of calories in a condensed period of time, which is a nice benefit for, you know, saving some time. It also creates a high exercise post-oxygen consumption in a similar way to that a higher volume training does, where for hours after the workout, you're actually burning at an elevated rate. And then, you know, it does not take away from muscle mass as much. So, you know, I talk to, you know, my general fitness clients daily about, you know, this, why I choose to have them do some of this more brutal high-intensity cardio. And, you know, on a really extreme example, if you look at an Olympic sprinter and you look at an Olympic marathoner or ultra-marathoner, there's an obvious difference in the physique, right? Both of them are very lean, but one of them has tree trunk size and, you know, ripped abs and, you know, big muscular upper bodies too. And that sprinter with the all-out effort, you know, for short bursts of activity is using a different energy system in their body. And they're actually contributing to the hypertrophy of the muscles that that fast twitch, explosive nature of sprinting or any activity that requires that kind of all-out effort can actually contribute to overall hypertrophy as well, which makes it a little easier to maintain lean mass while we're doing these long and, you know, we're trying to basically burn off the layer of body fat and keep all of the muscle. So, you know, like I said, for me, for my money, I would rather suffer through a very short, condensed, really high-intensity workout, get in that gym, get out of that gym, be home, hugging my kids, having a good time, having balance in my life. And, you know, the science actually supports as well that it may be better to do that. Now, if somebody is, you know, challenged with some joint issues or, you know, if they are, you know, training particularly heavy and they, you know, are not able to do some of the higher intensity kind of things, then, you know, of course, they may want to look into a more moderate or lower intensity steady state kind of cardio. But anybody that can do it, I've seen amazing results with it. I've seen a lot of people have amazing results with it. And I've seen a lot of research that supports that it's superior in a lot of different ways. But, you know, not discounting the fact that we're all extremely busy and bodybuilding is something that we do and that we're passionate about. But it should never be more important than, you know, family and other things that we have going on too. So if I can fit a lot into a short period of time, I'm happier with that route, you know, from a time management standpoint too.
Man, you are just coming up with some life lessons as well as good points. And, you know, I find myself doing this at work, you know, and I was telling people, I said, you know, all that energy that you have, you know, that goes into your job, find a better way to do your job so basically you can give that energy and time to your family. And a lot of people didn't understand at first until I started showing them, you know, ways to just go about doing things and have it be more effective and time, like less time and less energy, because you're at work to do your job. And I said, if you don't have to prove your manhood or femalehood to do it. And I said, you know, it's the same thing when you're actually dealing with the gym atmosphere. If you're in there getting ready for bodybuilding, then I don't understand why people are trying to lift the gym. While, like you said, if that body's not going to change in a day. And, you know, trying to hit a PR while you're depleting is kind of confusing to me. I know there's people that really want to challenge themselves, but I can't see the benefit in that. But that's another show. But to me, it seems more like what is your goal, and how is the most time-effective way to get there should be the biggest essential part, where like you said, you do have a family, so get to them. You do have loved ones and friends that enjoy your company, so get to them. Because not everybody meets up at the gym like us gym rats.
Right, exactly. If we were all doing it full time, you know, no big deal spending 3 or 4 hours at the gym, you know, but it's not necessary to be there for that long. And, you know, if somebody is doing, you know, 4, 4.5, 5 hours of the workout, then, you know, God bless them for being able to do that, you know, but I would suspect that the intensity is not there, because you should not be able to go for that long. You should be done well before that.
That's right. And speaking of, because this is one that always, you know, even before I started getting my certifications, even before I started basically being anything other than a gym rat, it was just, you know, being involved with sports growing up for so long, it was something that always had me, you know, scratching my head. And that was being taught the hours and hours of cardio to achieve that shredded look what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people feel is completely necessary. And, again, it might be completely unnecessary for some individuals. I'm one of those people. I have a smaller structure. I have a very fast metabolism. I can diet on higher calories than a lot of heavyweights, even though I'm a bantamweight. And it would be very counterproductive for me to spend that time and even be burning even more calories. You know, it would just require me to eat even more to maintain my muscle mass. And if I were to do it, I would whittle away relatively quick. So my body type, personally, doesn't lend itself towards needing that kind of cardio, or if I did it, it would be very counterproductive very fast. And again, it goes to intensity too. So, you know, if someone is training, doing weights with a good level of intensity, they probably don't need as much cardio as they think they do. So for example, like I've seen some competitors. One of the first people I ever worked with was she's a bikini competitor now. But when she first came to me and asked for help, I told her to tell me what you've been doing. And I made her draw out what she'd been doing for her diet and what she'd been doing for her training. And this is no joke, Kaylin. This is a lady who was eating under 1,000 calories a day and doing a weight workout that was about an hour and then 90 minutes on a Stairmaster every single day, no days off. And so I told her, I said, for a second, you know, I'm gonna probably scare the living crap out of you with what I'm gonna say next, but hang in there with me. I promise we're gonna get you there. And I said, I'm looking at what she wrote down, and I said, you know, this is all wrong. Your calories are far too low, and what you're trying to do for the output of activity on the calories you're taking in is way out of whack. And that's what your problem is. You know, you're feeling like you're beating your head against the wall, doing more and more and more, and you're not getting anywhere, and you're not seeing any results, and that's exactly why. Your body's working exactly how it should, even though you feel like your metabolism is broken, or you know, you don't have enough thyroid output, or whatever the thought process is. Your body's working exactly like it should. You're slowly starving yourself, and your body's holding on for dear life, because the starvation mechanism is kicked in, and your leptin's way out of control right now. So we put her on a plan to slowly elevate her calories, and it wasn't much and it wasn't fast, but every single week we had her eating more. And within 3 weeks of increasing her calories, and we also dropped the cardio immediately like a bad habit. I had her doing just weights for a while. And with those two changes, within 3 weeks, she started seeing her body fat come down already. And she continued to lose weight until we had her calories more than doubled from where they were. And now she does competitions now to this day. And she will actually prep at around 2,000 calories, which is more than double what she was starving herself on before. So, you know, when you talk about, you know, somebody that, you know, maybe just didn't have the knowledge or, you know, didn't know any better, and somebody had told her that you had to do these Stairmaster workouts and you had to get your calories that low, she just bought into that, that that's how it was, and you just had to suffer that much to get ready. And now she's able to do it in a healthy way. So it feels real good to be able to, you know, make that change for somebody. And, you know, now you see her train and she just feels so much better about her body too, because she has a completely different look. You know, 3 years later now, this individual has much more, you know, lean muscle, much more shape to her body, and the preps are not that stressful to her at all, you know. So it's a much better situation. But, you know, most individuals do not need to do a ton of cardio, and I do realize there's different body types out there. I do realize there's individual differences amongst people, and some people, you know, have more of an endomorphic kind of a body where it's a larger structure. They gain strength pretty quickly. They can gain mass pretty quickly, and they have a little bit harder time, you know, getting body fat off. And that person may do a little bit more cardio, but still it should not require hours of cardio. You know, a good disciplined diet at the right calorie level, you know, high intensity when we're doing the weight training, and then, you know, some high-intensity intervals would serve those people very well. And there's no reason that they should ever have to do hours and hours and hours of cardio. And, you know, unless somebody really enjoys it,
yes,
you know, I don't see any need to do that stuff. Yeah, you know, I do realize there's people that have a high-stress job, and, you know, they like to go out and go for a jog and just let their mind kind of go and do their thing, and they get some enjoyment out of that, and that's totally fine. I'm not one of those individuals. If you told me you were going to prep me for a show, and, you know, part of the program was I'm going to get on a treadmill and run nowhere for an hour, I want to go the other way, man. I don't even want to consider doing that. So it's totally not necessary. You know, most individuals should not be even considering wasting that much time on cardio.
No, and you know, like you said, you really got to consider your family, your friends, and, you know, I remember, and, you know, this is just, you know, thinking back, since it's Thursday, we'll go back to throwback. This is that kind of a throwback. I remember when I first started looking at the competitors, and I would read some of the posts on social media, some of the statuses on social media. And I said, that's the last thing I want to do, is to be this unhappy doing something that, you know, is supposed to be fun. And I just, you know, I'm almost done with my workout, but I got to get ready for this 2 hours of cardio. And I said, you know, that was kind of a punishment for us, but, you know, it was in football where, you know, all right, so you wouldn't screw up anymore. We're going to make sure that you never try this bad play or fumble again, and that's by doing more running because we know you're already exhausted. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm tired and it's supposed to be beneficial to the muscle, why would I sit there and deplete it to where there is no reserve and no stores? I mean, it's basically the only thing left to tap into is that muscle you're trying to create.
Right, and another thing that I think people forget about is, you know, the cardiovascular activities that a lot of people choose to do are things that your body can adapt to very quickly. So in a really short period of time, there's diminishing returns, and unless you're willing to do more and more and more and more and more of it, then, you know, it's not really working very good at all very quickly. So, like I tell people all the time, is it healthy? Yeah, of course it's healthy. You know, we've got the cardiovascular system working. There's some stress relief benefits to doing that, you know, if people enjoy it. You know, so there's lots of good things that do happen, you know, as far as health benefits goes. But as far as getting your body to burn fat and maintain muscle mass, not very efficient, and you can get used to cardio in particular very quickly. People improve very fast. So if you're, you know, if you take somebody who is pretty deconditioned and have them doing some, you know, brisk walking on a treadmill or whatever, within a couple of weeks, they're already getting better at that. And, you know, they can obviously change variables and, you know, change speed and or incline. You know, they can change things with that workout, but your body adapts super quickly to cardio and there's diminishing returns very fast. So, you know, like I said, I just prefer the higher intensity interval cardio. And to me, those are much more fun too. You know, I come from, a lot of us that compete, we come from a sports background. And, you know, I remember the days when, you know, my wrestling team used to do conditioning together and we would just beat the tar out of each other at an ultra high intensity level. You know, and it was fun, you know, and it's something that you can't do for very long. So there's no way you're going to be wasting an hour in the gym, you know, at that kind of intensity level, you know, you
ran right
out in 15 to 20 minutes, you know, you did something. It's not like, you know, watching Murder, She Wrote on the treadmill and walking away for a half hour, you know. So I just prefer that so much better. And there's a million different things you can do to achieve, you know, the feeling that you get from high-intensity intervals. I tell people all the time, it's really the feeling that we're going after. You know, like if I'm running, I'm sprinting and I'm trying to beat Usain Bolt. If I'm on a Concept 2 rower and I'm rowing high-intensity intervals, there's a shark that's going to catch me and eat me if I'm not fast enough. You know, if that's what I'm thinking about. But there's a million things we could do. You know, I've done it where we throw my truck in neutral and I have people push my truck for 40 yards as fast as they can. You know, there's a lot of different things you can do to get, you know, high intensity intervals going. And a lot of them can be a lot of fun too. And that's another benefit of doing it.
Yeah. And also, like you said, you still have the time for family. Because, you know, I think one of the biggest myths is that, you know, you won't have the energy to be around family. And I'm thinking, you know, toward the end maybe, but, you know, in the beginning when your body is basically addressing and you're growing, you do have energy and you do have, you know, you do get past that mental block of I can't do. You start seeing that more that window and that screen door instead of a locked door where you can see things past what you're doing. And that's one of the benefits of having that time. Even if you have to take a power nap, you figure if you are doing an hour in the gym and getting the benefits of 4 hours at the gym and you take maybe a 10-20 minute power nap, you still have plenty of time for the family.
Absolutely. And there's some real world examples of people that kind of shoot that myth down all over the place. We all have them as friends. You know, people used to comment about me all the time in contest preps. They're like, you are so steady that your personality, nothing changes, you know, from day one until you hit the stage. You know, and they, I don't know if they thought it's a personality trait of me or whatever. You know, I'm pretty laid back by nature, I guess. But I never, ever felt, you know, that I got short-tempered or that I didn't have time for family or that I didn't want to go out and do something because it was taking focus away from my bodybuilding show. I never felt like that at all. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I actually really enjoyed getting out and doing those things because it took my mind off of, you know, being consumed with, you know, the next training session or, you know, what I had coming up for the prep. So I really personally enjoyed those things. And we all know people that are straight as an arrow and steady as can be. And, you know, just off the top of my head, Heather Formicella, you know, this lady competes more than anybody I know, and you can't catch her not laughing or smiling. You know, so I think some of this is mental. Some of it's, you know, attitude, you know, just as much as it is physical. You know, we can choose to be happy if we want to be. We can also choose to not be happy if we don't want to be happy. And then when people prep incorrectly, you know, if they are extremely depleted, you know, dehydrated or they aren't taking in adequate carbohydrates, then sure, you're going to feel a little bit off because, you know, primary fuel for your brain is glucose. And if you don't have enough, then your, you know, mental sharpness is gone. You know, your short-term memory, your focus, all of those things are gone. Irritability, energy, you know, all that stuff suffers. So, again, it probably comes back to how solid your plan was. And, you know, tons of the competitors that we know that do it the right way are amazing people all the way through the whole process. You know, they're happy, they're loving life the whole way through. So I would say that's a huge myth that you have to suffer and it has to be miserable and, you know, all those things, because it's just not true whatsoever. You can make it miserable if you want, certainly. And it's not too hard to make it miserable if you want it to be. But there's just too many examples of people that enjoy the whole entire process and feel good throughout.
Yes. I mean, it's your life. And, you know, I said way back when, regardless how you look at it, it's your choice. And it's amazing. Like I said, if there was a sport that I didn't agree with or like, I just didn't do it. You know,
exactly.
If it's something that I'm saying I'm going to suffer the whole time and I won't find any joy in it, then I'm just not going to do it. You know, I don't care how many people that I know or in the family or it doesn't matter. It's not fun for me. I don't want to do it because it's no benefit to me at all. So why am I using my life and my time to do something I have no interest in? And, you know, to suffer because others have suffered and this is supposed to be something to do. To me, health has never been a fad. It's always been something that's been close to my heart because, you know, when I watched my family members that weren't making it and it was some health reason or another, then I said, you know, by the grace of God, that's me. Later on in my life, if I don't, you know, walk that line of good health and fitness.
That's right. Well said.
So Joe, you've got a lot on your plate, and, you know, the show is coming to an end, but I want to talk about, just get some snippets from the Olympia, because I know you were there live, and it was a big show this year. I mean, I heard there was hours and hours of waiting just to get in there, because, you know, people were so ready for that show.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a great, great weekend. It was really cool to see some things that I haven't seen before personally. So as a fan first, it was great to see Martin Daniels compete. Never seen him compete before. It was great to see Philip Ricardo. Never seen him before. You know, those two guys are both, you know, some people that I rank very highly, you know, as far as all-time best natural bodybuilders. They're also both individuals that I rank very highly as just men, you know, very good, respectable men. And, you know, both of them were amazing on stage, of course. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Both routines were great. Both were, you know, fierce competitors, but humble and, you know, good people. And to see, you know, the lineup was amazing. You know, with Meshack, of course, in that lineup. Man, you had some of the best people in the world just in the short category. And, you know, that was probably one of the most competitive lineups I've ever seen. And then you also had the tall category that had some amazing bodybuilders in it. So to see that men's bodybuilding was really, really special to me. And then another moment that I remember really clearly was Angela Yeo winning a second world championship this year in physique. That was really cool to see because I know she felt like she hadn't even had it sink in yet from winning the DFAC world finals. And, you know, here she goes again, and she won it at the Natural Olympia, too. So, amazing year for Angela. We were really proud of her. Man, it was impressive, Kaylin. They had a lot of athletes there. And I want to say there was something like 122 that came over from Australia to compete. So,
wow.
It was truly an international affair. And, you know, big, big show. So we were happy to be part of it. You know, there was a lot of amazing champions, you know, up and down. Robert Daniels won his second overall Masters Mr. Olympia in bodybuilding, which was great. Rich Feliciano did great. He got third in Masters. So, I mean, he's kind of newer on the scene in those bigger shows, but he looked like he belonged, and he looked amazing. Man, I don't want to forget anybody, but, I mean, it was just, it was amazing. It was amazing. There was a lot of really good athletes in that show.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I'm waiting for the day when people can post like you and I and JB and Tyann do, where they're covering the natural shows on social media, just like they do the UFC, the other venues and arenas, and they can actually applaud their fellow athletes, because I'm still a little confused on that we, you know, we're such fans of bodybuilding, yet for some reason we don't really chatter much about the shows as they're happening. And I'm thinking, I want to know everything I can about these shows. Because
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. I was just thinking, too, there's one, I know you'll appreciate this, Caleb. There was one moment that was really fun. So we got to actually hang out with Martin a lot. He stayed with us. So we got to know him really well as a person. And I love that guy. But when we go backstage before pre-judging, I was helping Meshach get pumped up. And we're kind of looking around and we're like, man, where's Martin? Did he forget about the time or what? You know, where's Martin? And then, JB started getting nervous about it. Like, you know, where's Martin Daniels? And I said, you know what? They call him the ghost. He's going to just show up, do a couple push-ups, get in line, walk out there and blow some people up. That's just what he does, you know? And sure enough, here he comes. And, you know, he's got his long sleeve on and he's still dressed and he gets out his band and he does a few push-ups, gets his oil on real quick, walks in the line and he's good to go. And no joke, I mean, you've seen him in person, right, Kaelin?
Yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, being able to be back there taking pictures of him and Meshach, you know, posing together, and, you know, him and Meshach and Phillip, you know, all posing together, it was just really cool. But, you know, seeing some of these guys, especially Martin's legs, the first time,
oh my God,
I don't even know what I'm looking at right now, you know, so... Yeah, so people that don't know, if you see him up person, you know real quick. And, yeah, I agree with you. I think it'd be great if there was more just, you know, straight-up, hardcore, natural bodybuilding fans that understood, you know, what these guys are doing to put it down the way that they put it down. Because, I mean, it's amazing what all of them in that lineup have done to their physique naturally. And, I mean, they do not lack size at all. Those are some big boys. So,
yeah.
I mean, what they've done is unreal.
And, you know, I just to watch the improvements that Justin Figueroa has done over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nothing short of amazing, you know. And it's the fact that they are willing to travel so far to compete in a pro show always just blows my mind.
Yeah, I got a chance to get to know him a little bit and Michael Waddington, and great guys. I really enjoyed the time I spent with both of them, and both of them have amazing physiques. You know, they both are up there right in that top five in the world too. And yeah, it was amazing seeing those guys. And I asked Justin, how they get such a big team together to come over here, and he said in Australia they have shows, but they don't really have any really good pro shows. So
that's,
you know,
right.
They're really geared up to come over here and show what they got. And he said that, you know, a lot of the guys that come over as amateurs, like last year was Peter Hartwig, they're ready to compete as pros by then. You know, they've got, you know, sometimes years under their belt. You know, they've been competing as amateurs, but they've already achieved a pro-class physique, and they can step right in from winning the amateur overall right into the pros and belong. And, I mean, I don't disagree with that whatsoever, because Peter fifth, and he looked amazing, and his routine was the best of the night. I mean, it was unreal good. So if you get a chance to, I don't know if anybody's posted it on YouTube or anything yet, but if you get a chance to check out Peter's routine, it was awesome. So I highly encourage you to look that up. That was really cool.
Because I know after seeing Martin's, if it was better than that, I definitely want to see.
Yeah, no disrespect to Martin Daniels, because I thought his routine was awesome too, but Peters was really amazing. I think you'll agree once you check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Now, also, we have the, this is for the P4P family, we have the rollout of the P4P Sports and the P4P app. And it's, I want to know, because, you know, everybody's got questions they ask at the last minute. And P4P Sports has rolled out and been received well. And, you know, I know people that have been bugging me, and I was like, no, you're going to start looking for it for yourself because, you know, this just go get this and go do that. I said, we still have lives ourselves. So, you know, look up the magazine yourself if you want because it is a good magazine, and it is a magazine. So it's not like just flipping through pages. There are articles in there, and they're very good reads. And you hear the science behind the speak with what Joe's been saying over the show. And also the app, people are asking about the app because some didn't get the email. So I know that was in the email that Tyann sent, and she had said, you know, she sent provided a link. So for the people that have read about the app and haven't received it, the P4P family, make sure you read the whole email message. Don't just see it and look for the email and not see it and not know where to go. She put all that information in there. Tyann is very thorough with that, and I know she is very diligent in how she does it to make sure she doesn't miss anything. So please read everything before you start hitting her up or Joe or JB, because believe me, they're very busy people. So Joe, if you'd like to add anything to what I just said.
No, sure. If anybody needs anything specifically relating to the app, you know, Tyann can resend the email, or, you know, Chad will be happy to help out too. Chad's been spearheading getting that going. So, you know, you can reach out to either of them and they'll be able to help you out with it 100%. But we're pretty excited about it. We think it's going to open up some more opportunities for everybody. And, you know, we wanted to do something different, something that, you know, nobody else was doing. And yeah, it's going to be pretty, it'll be pretty cool. Like almost everything that people are doing anyway, you know, they're going to be able to use the app to track it, and they're going to actually get paid some benefit for it. Even simple things like posting on Facebook. We all do it all the time anyway. It doesn't take any extra time to do it, you know, with the app to track it. And you'll end up getting some credit on that and kind of get paid for everything you do to promote. So we're excited about it. I think it's going to be pretty amazing what it's going to do. I know there's some individuals that already embraced it, that are already using it. And, you know, the ones that are going to use it right away, those are the ones that are going to get some amazing benefits. So we want everybody to.
Amen to that. And, you know, it's a great show. I'm sorry we weren't able to get in touch with Lee and get that rolling. So I'm sure, you know, he's a businessman as well. So he's got stuff going, and I'm sure something probably came up because that's a man of his word. So I know that something had to really be in the way for him not to be able to be on the show. So we'll try and catch up with him next time. Joe, awesome job, though. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you were just full of good information and good things that people, especially, well, not even new competitors or prep people or clients, but people that have been in this for years needed to hear this because, you know, it's not the newbies that you basically got to reshape. It's the ones that have been going hardcore for a long time. And, you know, a good example is a fella that has an injured elbow. And I saw him at the gas station, hadn't seen him at the gym, and he's not a competitor. He's just somebody that goes to the gym on a regular basis. And he was, you know, going hardcore, seeing the guys competing and the women competing, and he figured he was going to step his game up, but he didn't ask the right people or the right question, and he injured his elbow. And he said it's something like tendonitis. And I said, well, you probably were lifting wrong. And you would think I had thrown a brick through his window. He had that look on his face because he was so hurt. And I said, well, it's not saying that you're a wrong person for lifting incorrectly. It's just saying you were taught incorrectly and your body has suffered the damage from it. Like you were saying with the diet, your body is doing exactly what you're asking it to do, and this is the end result of what you ask. So, you know, it's the people that need the help the most are usually the ones that won't ask at all.
True. Yeah, that's very true.
So anything else, Joe?
No, I appreciate you bringing me on, Kalen. Like I said, I have fun talking about some of this stuff because, you know, you hear these things over and over again, and it's amazing how long some of them have survived and still out there. So anything we can do to steer people the right way, I'm all for it.
Yes. And I have to tell you is, and I know you are too, but I always speak from a personal standpoint so people can understand exactly where I'm coming from. I am very passionate about health and fitness. I said stage is, to me, is a byproduct of health and fitness. Good sportsmanship is a byproduct of health and fitness. Being at the best in your game is a good byproduct of health and fitness. But without health and fitness, you don't really enjoy anything. And it's amazing how we can foreshadow that or have it foreshadowed as winning a first place or top five trophy on stage and having no health when the show is over. You know, and that's, I think that's, I don't like to use the word hate much, but when it comes to someone that's willing to damage another person's life, it's very frustrating for me. And it does bring out an anger that I'm not familiar with. I'll say it in that way. And I'm sure anybody that's truly concerned about people, and I don't know many personal trainers that get involved in this for the money, especially now. It's definitely a labor of love, and we do get attached to our clients because, you know, we basically watch them. You know, like with you being a dad, you've seen your kids grow up, and you can't tell me there's not a shared coexistence in that. And it's the same with anything you do when you're helping somebody or around people for any matter of time, and you watch them improve, and it's just beautiful to see. But when you see the other side, it's not so beautiful, and it does get frustrating for the people that have made this a part of their life. So I'm sure you could speak on that, and that we could do that another show. But thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do for the P4P family, and great job. I mean, really, hands down, I'm clapping in my mind on the answers and the detail that you put to it, because it's not, I can't imagine anyone saying, do as I say or else, or do as I say and not as I've done, or the people that are basically bypassing health with the intent of getting you to stage.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%, Kalen. I appreciate you having me on. I've had people, kind of like what you were just talking about, like what motivated me when I wanted to compete. And like I told you before, I was in sports, and I was looking for another venue to, you know, get that craving, if you will, of being able to compete and have something that I'm pushing for that's a, you know, a difficult goal that takes a lot of mental and physical toughness to achieve. But in all honesty, I've got a bunch of them, and those plastic trophies really don't mean that much to me. It's my kids, you know, and people ask me, like, what motivates you to compete? It's the trophies, the show, that's a carrot that's out there that's at the end that is kind of an external motivator that keeps me focused, and it keeps me training hard. And but the real goal is that I want to be around for a really long time for my kids, and that's number one to me. And you know, just like you said, with, you know, people that you work with, I can guarantee you that just about every one of them have similar kinds of drives and desires. And you know, being on that stage shouldn't be, if it is, like the end all be all. You know, of course we all have goals and we all have desire to compete at a high level, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but that shouldn't be be the only thing that's driving us, and it definitely shouldn't be something that drives us to do things that would hurt our health or, you know, hurt our families in any way. So I can't agree with you more. I think, you know, the competitions are only a tool to, you know, have another external motivator to keep us focused on, you know, our health, our wellness, our well-being, and, you know, along the way have a lot of fun doing it and, you know, and have some great experiences too.
Well said. What a wonderful way to end the show. I can't say it any better, so I won't. Joe, thanks so much. Again, P4P Nation, guys, we're in good hands. And, you know, the one thing that Joe said, and it really just, and this is a myth buster because, you know, there's been a lot of supplements out there that are basically being busted for being myths and not being true supplements. And Joe said something, and JB said it with him. We use the product that we're basically advertising, and we want it to be the best because we want to look our best. And that's something you just don't hear because basically it's just lay it down, hope people buy it, and make money from it. These guys are basically making sure we're going to be at our best and the optimal best because they want to be at their optimal best as well. So think about that the next time you're taking your supplements. And think about that time you're really realizing all the crap you had put in your body before this, because it does make a difference. So, Joe, again, thank you.
I appreciate it, Kalen. I had a great time. Thank you.
I did. I really did, too. I really enjoyed this. I'm enjoying every show, and I just thank you guys for giving us this, me and Desiree, this opportunity to do these shows, and Melissa, and then I can't think of the Hound, Dave. I think Dave, like, yes.
Dave.
Yes. Putting it out there. And for the people that want to do a podcast, just make sure you have a passion to do it. Make sure you have a love to do it. And make sure there's something in the show itself that will attract people to it and actually something you can speak on because you have a passion for it anyway. Because honestly, the sky is the limit, and then after that you got the moon and the stars, and God bless us for having this just to even do. So thanks again, Joe. Leaf, we hope you're okay and you get a chance to listen to the show and see what you missed. Kalen Patterson, Desiree, we miss you. Thursday's always you, so don't think I'm comfortable here. I mean, I'm used to being co-host in the side seat, so you don't get your butt back here and get on the show. Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, we are out. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you, Kath. Bye.